What is up, everyone? This is Danny Nesvetterani, your host for this hour of Analog Archives, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And you were just listening to the central group, band, artist of this week's episode, Animal Slaves, a band from the 80s, a local Vancouver band from the 80s, spearheaded by Elizabeth Fisher on vocals, Rachel Mellis, and Ross Hales. And while this is going to be an episode that delves into their music in particular, I will be spending a lot of this episode speaking specifically about Elizabeth Fisher, a legendary Vancouver artist, both musician and visual artist and performance artist, who in 2015 sadly passed away due to terminal lung cancer. And it was a case of it that actually had gotten quite a bit of coverage because of the decision she had made to go to Zurich, Switzerland, in order to end her life on her terms, which is at the time not something that she was able to do in Canada under the current Harper administration. And I have a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to say it yet. You were just listening to the first track of their album, Dog Eat Dog, which has some really cool art. Both of the records that we have here from Animal Slaves here at CJSF have really, really cool artwork on each side. So maybe I'll post some photos of that on the Instagram, analogarchives__. But that first track was titled Learning to Live. Start off with Elizabeth Fisher's pretty signature vocals going, I'm learning to live, I'm learning to live somewhere, I'm learning to give something with my back to the wall, wall too tall to fall. And with that, let's get on to the next track of the night. This one is titled It Never Happened, and this one features guest player Greg Reilly on percussion. Hope you enjoy. Once again, you're tuned into Analog Archives, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
It's perfectly clear to me that you never get the point. You never see beyond your nose. And I'm wasting my time when I try to make you see monsters in me. Never happened to me. I was never excited. I was never impressed by the comments you recited. Let it to the human race. You learn too well to take dictation. Got some kind of a fixation. Never happened to me. I was never excited. I was never impressed by the garbage you recite.
Yeah.
With Analog Archives only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this week. You've been listening to Animal Slaves only on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'd mentioned briefly that this episode was going to focus on not just this band, but also Elizabeth Fisher, the lead vocalist for the band, who is someone that, unfortunately, you know, I never really learned about until I started this show. And she was someone that, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I feel like I have to do an episode about this person. They seem so fascinating. But I didn't know much about her outside of the things that other people had told me. Like, for example, the episode I did done earlier with Sandra Lockwood, she had mentioned Elizabeth Fisher. Dan Pond at some point had mentioned Elizabeth Fisher and Animal Slaves and how it would be cool to do an episode on that. And, you know, that obviously piqued my interest because I'm like, oh, okay, well, what is this about? You know, like, who is this? And looking into not just the art that she produced, but like the people that she affected and just all of the sort of like community she was able to build during her time as an artist, it just was really, really cool to learn about. She had a lot of other music outside of this band, some solo work, some with a different band by the name of Dark Blue World. Which was, I think, more recent after Animal Slaves. And that can all actually be found on a website called monkey-boy.com/efish. So if you want to learn more about the music that she put out, it's all on there. You know, another thing looking into Elizabeth Fisher is the fact that around the time of her death, there was actually a lot of media coverage around it because, you know, it had to do with the fact that, you know, she was wanting to pass away in a certain way using medically assisted means, but didn't have that option in Vancouver, in Canada, just generally. And it had to do, and then that brought up a larger conversation on, you know, the current conservative government at the time, Stephen Harper's government's ban on physician assisted suicide, which caused her then to go to Zurich, Switzerland, for, you know, being able to do that. I think with, I can't remember the name of the organization. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, Dignitas. Yeah, the organization was named Dignitas. And I was looking, it seemed like she had a lot of interviews, specifically with Alexander Vardy, someone who worked with the Georgia Strait. And just, again, hearing her speak about just her illness and just death in general felt very radical to me. I think I'm also someone that is particularly afraid of death and just all the unknown, and just the concept of not living horrifies me. And, you know, who knows, maybe that'll change by the time I get to a certain point in life, but at the moment that's not the case. So hearing someone talk about, like, you know, there's a quote from the interview where she says, you know, I can stick around for another few months, but that means taking the risk of this kind of tumor attacking my ribs, at which point it would just be a question of how much agony I'm in. I'd be in the hospital, stuck into morphine IVs, and I'd be in absolute agony. Is that what they want from me? I'm like, screw you. I want to exit under my own agency while I'm having a good time. And that is just, you know, the way that she talks about it often in some of these interviews she did around this time make it kind of sound like she has come to peace with it in a way that maybe some of the other people around her hadn't yet. And just having the self-assurance to know, like, it's my time. I've done good, and, you know, I don't want to suffer anymore. I think is a really, really cool and pretty revolutionary thing. So I it was cool to learn about just that chapter in her life, I guess. Anyways, we got some more music to play, and the next track on this album, Dog Eat Dog, is titled 1 in 10. Once again, you're tuned into Analog Archives only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Take to the eye, so is the doctor. He's educated, examines the skin for signs of torture.
Have reached the very end of side one of Doggy Dog, this Animal Slaves album. We're gonna go on to side two. I actually misspoke briefly, so before I had said the wrong track that was next. What actually played after I last spoke was Analyzing, which then went into Prisoner of Silence. We're now on side two, which is then gonna start with Save Me from Ruin.
Save me from harm.
right, we are back with Analog Archives only on CJSF 90.1 FM. That track was titled Save Me From Ruin. And now we are back with Analog Archives only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And a fun fact about that last track, that featured Paul Serrett on the Santour. I think it was a bit hard to parse, but at the very end of the track, you can kind of piece it out. And before we get into the next song, I just want to talk a little bit more about Elizabeth Fisher and this Georgia Strait article that I found about, titled Elizabeth Fisher Argues That Jazz Is the New Punk, also by Alexander Vardy. And there's a quote that she has in it that I think is really, really interesting, which says, "Punk, in its much larger culturally important zeitgeist, was a way to demystify creativity, where creativity, creating something truly original, was the ideal that fueled musicianship at that time, no matter the skill. Skill would come with practice, in communities formed between the similarly inclined musical entities, collaborating on songwriting, exchanging members, information, running gigs together, running labels on shoestring budgets. In other words, acting cooperatively, eschewing the prevailing BS of sellability." And when I hear music like this, like, that is, I think, what comes through, is this, like, idea. Like, I don't think they're putting this band together in order to fill up stadiums or sell merchandise. I think in these sort of, like, tight-knit art communities, you know, for better or for worse, like, they're going to be communal. And for a lot of people, art isn't a way to sell something. It isn't a way to profit. It's to express yourself in a community of others who also want to express